was hoping Angel was gonna be here.
Yeah, here he comes.
I gotta go talk to Angel first.
You've got like 1 minute to start.
Huh? I.
You've got 1 minute.
You know, you're vice chair, you can start it. Before we start, there's gonna be a key thing. Anybody says a score, I'm gonna make a motion for censure, just so you know.
So you mean is that?
Ah, you wanna get censured before you mess up your election so bad? No scores, or you, or there's gonna be a motion for censure.
Let me check my phone here.
I can censure one, everyone.
Okay.
What is it? Is it 1-1 still?
Yeah.
Hello. I know, well, I feel like I dropped off, that's the only reason I'm here.
Daniela, can you hear us? Can you unmute?
I'm glad you're here.
Yes.
Perfect, thank you.
Actually, well, you'll know in a little bit.
Yeah, Mark, Thor's running high post, Thor John Wallace's position, and then I'm running against Oscar Logan's Tori's position, and then Gina's running against Kelly, or her position.
Everyone got their mics on? And we are already recording, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Then I am going to go ahead and call this meeting to order of the October 20th, 2025 Othello, City of Othello Planning Commission. Do we have any excused absences that we're expecting?
Did you hear from Jose?
No.
So
we don't have any excuse. All right, so you know how we like to do this. State your name, starting with you, Maria. You're the lead.
Maria Martinez.
Ruth Sawyer.
Alma Carmona.
Chris Doro.
Rob Simmons.
Daniela Voorhees is online. So since she's muted, I'm just gonna recognize her. And so we have a quorum in front of you. You all have your nameplates. So the ones that you have in front of you are your souvenir.
It was just us. There were older ones.
Oh, they're not our souvenir. We don't get
no,
to keep
we
them.
We keep them, but everyone
we keep
else
the
had
old
the
ones.
Updated ones.
Yeah,
we had the old ones.
Oh, just you. You don't get one.
I want one for home.
Well, you should have signed up sooner, there, Rob. You're not likely to get fired like some of us might, depending on how the election it goes. All right, we'll start things out then with public input. Is there any public input? Bob, you sure you don't want to talk about annexations like we did beforehand? There's a place for everything. All right, seeing none, we're going to move forward on to approval of the minutes. Has everyone had an opportunity to review the minutes? Mm-hmm. Was there any questions or concerns? Bob, you're good with them?
I'm good.
Last month, they were really easy to cover.
Yeah, I'm sure.
All right, seeing no questions, concerns, I would entertain a motion to accept the minutes.
I'll make a motion to accept the minutes.
Do I'll second.
We have a second. All those in favor of accepting the minutes as written, say aye.
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 Opposed, same sign. Subdivision update. I mean, we are all, before we go into this, we've been reviewing this, some of us, for a very long time. So I want to make sure we do our due diligence on this. We're in a great position because we do have two city councilors here. So I think one of the things I wanted to recommend is what would we, when you're looking at these today, as we're going through these, what would you want the city councilors, what kind of message, what kind of information do we want to give the city councilors to make their process going through this and reviewing this as easy as possible? So as we go through this, kind of keep that in mind And let's kind of think about that as, it's going to help. We have two of them here tonight, so that's awfully helpful. But to make this as easy as possible for them is kind of what I was thinking. So, Anne, where do you want to start?
I sent it to the city attorney. I've worked through her comments. Sent it to the city engineer, public works director. She had a few quick comments for me today. But she is going to do a more thorough review that won't come until after this meeting. And Department of Commerce today also scheduled a meeting to talk to me on Wednesday about the draft. She said it's nothing big, just some small things. So I guess I would be looking at, if you're assuming you're going to be recommending this, to be kind of conditional on there may be a few small changes. Oh, and further, Bob Carlson pointed out a few things to me, mostly typos. But then if you look at page 34 of 107 of the design standards, there, so in 39 or 1629.310, 320, 330, 340 is utilities. There's sewer, water, streetlights, electrical, telephone, cable. He pointed out there should probably be sections for utilities of stormwater and irrigation.
I have that question.
So, and I, Robin agreed, yeah, we should add those. So we'll add in just a little section to make sure that we're addressing those utilities.
So are we doing a public hearing, or do we have to?
Let's do a public hearing and then kind of see, like, after all your questions, see where we're at. Do we need to, you know, continue it to get things resolved? Which is fine. Okay. I was trying to, like, push it through as fast as possible just to, like, keep it moving. Mm-hmm. But if we need to take more time, then we need to take more time. That's fine.
Anything else to add, or are we just going to go through this?
One other thing I should mention. The chapter about, let's see, it's 1644 about violations. I had a note about the code enforcement officer, but that's actually, those violations are not something she would address. So a violation of the subdivision ordinance would be handled by the attorney. That's not a, like, a building code violation or a nuisance. So that's not something that she would address. And so I should remove her comments from that. That's not her jurisdiction. Okay. So
from an oversight standpoint, from what we had before to what we have now, what would be the biggest changes we made in this code?
To try to simplify the process, make it a lot easier to understand.
So we got rid of repetitive language.
Yep.
We
got rid of a lot of conflicts. Mm-hmm. So we had conflicts within the code, between the code and the public works standards. So get rid of the conflicts, get rid of the places where it's duplicated and says the same thing, where it's duplicated and says different things.
We also, we have full attendance. I just wanted to recognize that Jose has joined us also online. And I'll try to do my best to remember we have online people and make sure they have the opportunity to speak. So simplification, better explanation on definitions and process is what we accomplished with this. Made it more consistent with our public works, but also created opportunities for developers to utilize additional opportunities, especially for creating neighborhood, small community neighborhood type circumstances, if they so choose, and how that would come together. Does that sound like what we've been doing? Or is there anything we would add to that?
I don't think so.
So
I was waiting.
There'd been, no, I don't have anything to add to it. There, you have 11 meetings. Well, I guess 9 before I even showed up. And I'm still trying to learn the difference between a parcel, a plat, a division, subdivision, all that stuff, you know. So I'm just listening and learning, and I really don't have much to add to this. I could see where It does look like it's trying to simplify it, and that makes sense, so.
So I thought what I liked about this, it just, again, we're kind of talking all over the place. I liked, you know, when we're talking about a major subdivision, short plats, and some of the things, some of those differences, where that comes into place. I thought, you know, that, I don't know if that's defined in this, but it was in a lot of our discussions.
It's defined, so, yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was better.
I learned a lot through just the definitions, because
yep,
those are the terms I heard a lot before, but, you know, didn't understand truly the definition of each one. I thought some of them were synonyms, but no.
Nope. So I think we, I think in the message coming to city councils, to let them know that's what we're trying to accomplish with all this. So we're going to go ahead. Let's see. I'm not going to open public testimony just yet. Do you have anything else to add, Ann, before we go into this?
I don't think so.
Okay. Then I'm going to go ahead and open the public hearing at 6:10. And I would like to start, like I said, we've already had kind of our neutral presentations. We've been through all this. We kind of have a goal and purpose to get some information to the city councilors that they can use. Although we have a new thing that came from Department of Ecology that talks about being aware of adjacent wetlands. Being the past senior vice president of the Pacific Flyway of Ducks Unlimited, I'm probably in a unique position when it comes to understanding how that all works. And my question to start off with, as to our city ordinance, I know we have reviewed wetlands and how that works. Is it possible to get that definition? And why I am asking this is I want to make sure that within these developments that we are being aware and addressing what needs to be addressed there.
So we have a separate chapter dealing with wetlands. So, you know, this comment was maybe a little bit puzzling because we would already do this.
Right. So I found that puzzling as well, but when we looked at some of the annexations that have been done, the one area that kind of jumps out to me, I think all of us have seen it, is when we're pulling out of Walmart, that lake that forms over there on AJ's property across mm-hmm. the street. And that's where this got my attention. So would that fit definition, or would that require mitigation if that was to be developed? And that's what the question that popped into my head when I saw this.
So yeah.
I'll pull up what the formal definition is, but basically the state requires us to have a definition, which is, I mean, there's the state standard definition, which is water for a certain length of, or saturated soil, vegetation, and soil showing that they've been saturated, because that changes the soil. I mean, there's three, you need all three things for a wetland. So, and it's something that we review when a project comes in. So, but I can pull that up for you.
That was the only one that just like jumped out at me, because I see that all the time. And I just wanted to make sure that with this in our hand, I want to make sure that we're in the right place. I'm not trying to blow up anything either. I got great suggestions for mitigation. I know a guy who actually has a mitigation bank.
Are wetlands
in the room?
Can they be man-made, or are they?
Well, see, that's why I wanted to review that definition again to make sure. Because when I look at that it's the amount, so it's the amount of area that is held. Now, it wouldn't exist there without the irrigation. So that's one aspect. And it's the amount of time that kind of comes into play with that.
It's essentially just a a low spot in the field, isn't it?
A low spot in the field technically is a wetland, and you have a low spot in the field in South Dakota that you have to mitigate. I know. Trust me, I had no problem until I saw this in our packet, and I went, uh-oh, I better check on this.
It does address intentionally created and unintentionally created as a result of construction of a road, street, or highway.
Have we already identified those critical areas?
So what we use is there's the National Wetland Inventory that
we would look at.
The state would look at to see, is it likely there's a wetland there? And if the maps say yes, or we have reason to think, then we would require a wetland study by a biologist.
But we don't need to
say that in our subdivision code, because we say that in our Title 13.
So we're covered.
We're covered.
Okay. I just, because getting that from DOE and my experience with, yeah, go ahead, Bob.
I think it's addressed right there. The third line down, it says wetlands do not include those artificial wetlands essentially created from not wetland areas.
That's how I also interpreted that.
I mean, if that, what you're talking about, an artificial wetland, that's not covered.
See, so mm-hmm. that's how, because again, was that created by roads? Was that created? All of that stuff comes into play on that. For example, you go down below Borsma's. That would be a fun one. If you're trying to develop there, you might have some trouble with, you're going to be doing some mitigation in that regard. Because they've been there for a long time.
We did in the county. We said if it was identified as a wetland in 1932, it's a wetland before the water got.
I would not want to, knowing what I know about wetland conservation, I would not rely on that in the court of law. I think the one at AJ's is that there on that property is probably fine.
If you took out Rampuy Dam, you know what real wetland.
Right.
Well, the wetland at AJ's, if he has anything there, that's caused because of the circles and stuff. As soon as mm-hmm. Both go out, they're not wetland.
I'd be even willing to bet the drainage off the road has a bigger impact on that than even the circle. I just wanted to make sure that was, because I think any of these annexations, I that was one of those ones every time I drive by it, like I said, a past life comes back to haunt me.
So I just want to be sure for myself. When somebody's putting in a subdivision, they have to follow all of the ordinance outside of the subdivision, including the ordinance inside the subdivision?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yep. I don't know why, for some reason, I just started thinking that the subdivision ordinance was made to be a little bit different than the rest of the ordinance to make the development easier. So that's why I thought there was a difference. That's the only reason I'm asking for clarification.
Yeah, we can't make other things not apply.
To that area, okay.
Well, what about, I remember the terminology, you can have a developer present a development plan where it does stray away from some ordinances, right?
From things like maybe lot size or
setbacks,
yeah.
I just wanted to be sure that we shouldn't.
That's a plan development, right?
Yeah, putting that in there.
Plan development, I remember.
You're getting good, Rob.
A long way to go.
But nobody at the city has the power to waive the critical area stuff.
Okay.
We're going to talk about that too in just a little bit on that. Okay, so I'm just really quickly, I'm going to just run through these generally before we get into public comments, because we, you know, this is where if we have questions of staff, we can ask those. So are there any questions about the general provisions? And I'm not seeing anyone come off mute online, so I'm gonna move on. This is a good area where there's a lot of changes. Definitions, is there any questions about definitions? Again, we've been reviewing this for 2 years, so. Next section is boundary line adjustments and lot consolidations. My question is on 16.10.040. So the application submittal requirements for boundary line adjustments, is that fee, is appropriate fee enough to put in there, or do we have to have a fee?
So we could say a fee as adopted by resolution of the city council. That would be better. That would be more consistent with the other language that we're doing. And I forgot to put the resolution in here, but there is an accompanying resolution. I think I showed that to you last time, right?
Yeah. I just wanted to verify.
But again, yeah, good catch. We should.
Since I have two city councilors here.
We don't currently have a fee for a boundary line adjustment.
Right.
But they could adopt one.
Of course, things that we struck out mm-hmm. don't exist anymore, and the underlined are the new. Mm-hmm. Any questions on boundary line adjustment and lot consolidation? That was the only question I had.
Nobody else?
Not seeing anything online. Of course, the next chapter is that for short subdivisions has been deleted. So that's the first deletion. And it's going to be covered later. And this is the preliminary short and major subdivision and binding site plans. When, again, with having city councilors here, this is how I kind of put most of my questions of how I would like to maybe see this going to the city council. When do and what rules govern the site plans when we make that deviation as far as preliminary short and major subdivision? What would be the differences between those two?
So a short subdivision is four lots or less. Mm-hmm. If it's more than four lots, that's a major subdivision. There is an alternate process called a binding site plan that you can use, but you can't use it for residential. You can use it for commercial or industrial. You can use it for a manufactured home park or an RV park, but it's a administrative process. It could be more than four parcels, but it's, you don't have to see it for a residential subdivision. It's not allowed for that by state law.
Angel, I mean, you're our expert right now. Does that make sense for how, is that explanation adequate for your preliminary binding site plans with the differences between those two? So anything beyond four lots?
Anything beyond four is a major plat. You gotta go through a hearing and stuff.
Yes.
Anything under is just a short plat.
So that's good.
And we haven't had any binding site plans.
I was about to say, that's why you're probably the best expert I got right here. That's why I was glad you were here tonight.
But if you had a large chunk of, say, commercial or industrial property, you could divide it up through a binding site plan, do private streets, private utilities. You know, it's an option that I can't think where here that would even make sense, but I guess maybe the port property, say the port property that's south of Highway 26, if they were to develop that into a commercial site with pads for different businesses, they could do that with a private street and private utilities, do that through a binding site plan process rather than through a major plat process.
That's good information.
The difference for a binding site plan is that it doesn't go through a public hearing. It's administrative, so it's quicker, and it's also easier to change it. So if they divide it into three and leave a big chunk of it left over, and then somebody else comes along and wants to buy part of it, they can just divide that off, and it's just a simpler process.
So this is for planning. Of course, everything's underlined here because this is all new, because we got rid of the previous one.
Right.
And any other questions on the binding site plans? I have one more. Sorry.
Let's get it out now rather than later.
Time periods for a short subdivision, they can be held for 1 year, correct?
Yes.
Expire after 1 year. For the majors, they're 5 years.
Yes.
Unless you get approval for extensions and all that stuff. Angel, that sounds reasonable.
I think currently it's 3 years.
Huh?
Currently, I think the code is 3 years instead of five between.
So we're adding 2 years for a major.
Which is what the state law allows.
For a short?
Short plat.
Yeah. Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Next is final short and major subdivision. Wait, I just did that. I did bind.
Now we're doing final.
Oh, these are final. Sorry.
Because it's a two-step process. They submit a preliminary. Yeah. It gets reviewed. They go back and make all their fixes. They submit it again to say, here, we made our fixes, and then we review it to see, is it really fixed?
I had no questions on this. Does anyone? Oh, I did have a question. Does anyone have any questions?
I think you do.
I do have a question. You're right, Alma. Again, when we look at recording at 16.15.060, again, fees are mentioned, and we figure out those fees how?
So these fees are payments in lieu of dedicating open space or of dedicating water rights. So those would be calculated in the preliminary.
Yeah, they're in the process.
They're right here. They're A-2. When applicable, voluntary payment in lieu of dedication of water rights pursuant to OMC chapter.
Perfect.
And then the third one is giving us the ability to
reimburse.
Basically, bill back time. Because our fees have not been raised in a long time, and so often the amount of time it takes to deal with these things, the staff time is eaten up really fast. So that gives us the ability to bill that back to the proponent.
For our new commissioners, our newer commissioners, fees have been the things we get lots of questions on. So that's why I wanted to cover those, just to make sure we had those answers available. Of course, open space and parks, we talked about a lot of changes, but we ultimately didn't make any.
Mm-hmm. The city attorney said we need to leave it as it is. There's no better way to do it.
Right.
So. We had a lot of great ideas until the attorney got involved.
Yep.
We tried, Angel. We tried. Ding law is getting in the way of a lot of fun.
We were just trying to make it simpler.
Right.
Okay. We, of course, eliminated, we explained binding before, so that's out. Design standards. Any questions about this? Anyone? Because you know I got questions.
Yeah. I did talk to.
So Robin did have a chance to look at this chapter and the next chapter to make sure that the things we're taking out of here, it's okay to take them out of here because they're already covered in the Public Works design standards. That was something you had asked me about last.
I mean, most of those standards make a lot of sense. I know we've talked about neighborhood design being a possibility for these. And with that in mind, it made me wonder a bit on section 1629.020, collectors and arterials. In particular, when I look at, for example, AJ's property, and you have a canal through the middle of that. And I know he's planning on crossing the canal in a couple of places, but do we run into any headaches with that?
With how it's written?
Angel didn't have to connect to, you didn't have to put a bridge to connect to Juniper, for example. You know, and that was the only thing I had a question about is being contiguous and conformity with street classification map.
So here's the street classification map. So the red is arterial and the yellow is collector.
Mm-hmm.
So.
But I think it says to conform as nearly as possible. So is your question?
Well, I guess that's what I'm wondering. Is there enough, you know, like I said, Angel didn't have to connect
like,
to Juniper, for example.
Is what you're asking?
Yeah, that's what I'm.
Like, because it says as nearly as possible. But
that was the only
the
only question I have on that is, you know, obviously, if there's a canal in the way, we got a problem.
Well, so if you see the map, there is no connection shown over the canal.
So that is established when they do.
So this was a map that was done by the city engineer a few years ago and adopted by the city council. Mm-hmm. I think I also brought it to the planning commission to review it as well. Where we looked at the classification of existing neighborhoods and then in the future.
How that would come together.
Yeah.
Is everyone comfortable with that? With that as it relates to this section?
I mean, I think there's no better way to write it. But I do see what you're saying. It's you conform as nearly as possible, but to what degree? As to how do you measure that as nearly as possible?
Yeah, I was going to go to you're about to ask you.
So a lot of times before I bought that property, that Palo Verdes, the church owned it.
Right.
They didn't have no second access, right?
Because right.
Curtis Robert owned the corner over there by cemetery. So they were going to have to. We were going to have to build a bridge.
To make that work.
But when I bought Robert's property, that gave me access into Cemetery Road. So that's all you need, the two access for development. It's
perfect.
Either that or cross. I think they had, in the past, they had a bridge going over right between Schutte's house on 6th, mm-hmm. I think it was 18.
Yeah.
So the I think council or somebody kind of waived that, right? Yeah, because we had that other access. It was only like 500 feet from there. So yeah, you need two accesses. I mean, on AJ's property over here, to put a bridge.
It's gonna have, well, he's planning on that. He's got a bridge planned to go with the connector. But he's also got Lee and Cunningham as well, mm-hmm. or Lee and Maine.
Think he has to? Is that why he's doing it?
Hmm?
Is his understanding that he has to, or is that by choice?
I think part of that, I think part of the reason why he is doing that is connect to the collector, but also access to the school property. So it was better, it was easier access that way to access the school property. Not like, didn't think he had to do that, but that was his plan, or at least that's in their plans.
It's definitely better.
You haven't seen it
access,
yet.
Yeah.
If you were ever doing any dental work on him, you would.
Oh my god!
You'd see all sorts of plans. Just saying.
Stop it.
Hypothetically. That you beat me to one of my questions. I was gonna reference that.
Because you wanted to cross it out, but it hit all of the streets, the footage, and stuff in this design.
Mm-hmm.
So we did pass a minimum street requirement.
Right.
Put it in the public works design standards, right?
Yep. That's actually one of my other questions. I had a feeling you guys might want that revisited. What is street size right now? Is
so
36?
36, but the right-of-way in the Public Works design standards is still 66 feet. So that's why I think I made a change to put the...
I thought it was changed to... It wasn't changed to 60, it's still 66.
Still 66, because the public work design standards haven't been updated since 2022. So, you know, in
we
that
can't,
next-
and we can't do that in the subdivision. Like, we can't have subdivisions built with a different right-of-way than what's in public works.
So that's why I added it back into this chapter to say 60 feet. So
yeah.
At least there'd be a little bit better, because right now, every time Angel brings one of his subdivisions in, I have to tell the hearing examiner, well, it should be 60 feet, but we haven't changed our code yet. So we're just, you
know. That's going to be one of our things on our upcoming list real quick here.
Could you bring it in this
chapter? 16:29-100.
Yeah, page 30, the next 35. Page. That's where I had all my road questions, because I had a feeling that would be something we'd want, that city council is going to have questions about, in my opinion.
John, do you have an older version? Do you have the one that I gave the council?
Well, it's just that some of these are crossed out this is the one that
we're going to. So I made a change between what you have probably and what was in the planning commission packet.
Yeah.
That exactly.
So
let me share it.
So John, the crossouts are the things we're
but he has
rid
an
of.
Older version.
Yeah. Oh.
So he can, yeah.
So he's going to be confused.
Yes.
No, but since then, between then and when I worked this up for the planning commission this time, I made some changes.
So that. See, having the city council is here always helps. I was trying to get Gina to come here too, but she wanted to watch a baseball game. Too bad.
Smart woman.
Yep, because I did get the council when I introduced it a few weeks ago, and then I keep reading it and finding things that need fixing.
And John, you might remember, I think it was about 3 or 4 meetings ago, that we did start talking a little bit about changing that right away. And that's why I was kind of confused. It was confusing for me knowing what we've already talked about and knowing what the standards are. Angel, I think you were here for that meeting where we talked about right away. I can't remember. Well, maybe you weren't. I thought you were. I thought you made some points on that. But so anyway. Yeah, I thought we would move to 60 already, but I guess we have not.
No, every time Angel has to ask for a deviation on that to get the 60.
That's
right
where
away.
The discussion came from. Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah.
I'm going to correct that to make the code. I mean, it would be better just to fix the public works standards, but that's another project.
Okay.
And not my project.
Well, that hasn't been changed because we haven't updated it and gone through all this, right? And then change
so, I don't know when Public Works is going to be.
Already, it's been like 4 or 5 years. Ago.
Yeah.
2022 is the last version.
I thought it was.
So, you know, they'll need to update that at some point. But as a kind of a stopgap, we can put it here, and then when it's updated in the Public Works design standards, we can take it out of here.
Okay.
So that's just in one place.
Something I think will be important for City Council will also be 16:29-40. Which is the neighborhood streets as an option. And this is a clear definition of, it's, you know, something that has come up during the election time has been keeping neighborhoods. And this was our way to create kind of a new definition of doing that. You know, to create neighborhoods that discourage through traffic as an option. So it's not something you have to do, but you can use it. as a tool to create that circumstance. And I think there may be some desire to know that.
Are you talking streets that go out like all the way from 7 to 14?
So I think more that you know, we'll use the two annexations that we have. If they were to decide to make, for example, a gated community, this would allow that opportunity. And within that, you know, design roads that kind of discourage people from cutting through that neighborhood.
So I'm going to say I don't know that it would allow a gated community.
Well, I used it as an example because you see so many of those now, but it would be using road design to discourage that, discourage through traffic through those areas and to keep it as neighborhoody as you can. Community, I should have, I used the wrong term.
Two entrances on the same side.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But you have issues with public streets,
public utilities, there'd be a whole discussion. So I just wanted to make sure.
I shouldn't have said gated community, but it's using road, design to accomplish that same mm-hmm. sort of situation.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that one, my next one's a gated community.
Way to go, Chris. You messed it all up. Hey, you know, if you name it Doro community, it gets a lot higher vote up on the list.
It gets shot down so fast.
Is there any other questions on design standards? As has been mentioned, a lot of this sits in our public works. We've discussed all this.
So along those lines, so on in 180, so page 28, 1629, 180, we had crossed out that alley right-of-way width shall be no less than 25 feet in commercial or industrial zones.
Yes.
The design standards doesn't actually have a width for commercial and industrial. It only has a width for residential.
So yep.
So that's one we'll leave in here for now for future cleanup, but to have it be covered for now.
Okay. 1629, 210, block lengths will probably be something that we want to make city council aware of, that we have that change there, that we're allowing bigger blocks.
Smaller blocks.
Well,
it says as blocks should be as long as possible, which I don't know what they were thinking. But
right. So that might be something we want to make. Also, the other one that jumped out at me, and this is one I'm actually looking for Angel's opinion on, is 1629, 230, raised ADA accessible pedestrian crosswalks. And that was one of the things we felt was important when building these things, that you could mitigate a lot of the traffic that way, but adding them after the fact was problematic. And I would love to hear your opinion as a developer if there's, mm-hmm. well, raised crosswalks as a way to also mitigate traffic. We thought that was the best traffic mitigation you could have all the way around for safety. So it'll slow traffic down, but the other thing is the expense is what my question is on that. I think adding it after is very expensive, but adding it as part of the development is kind of what we had kind of a question about.
It all depends how you raise it. If you're going to raise it with asphalt, it's just a matter of laying it out. I mean, compact it around there for asphalt. Or if you're going to cut it out and put concrete on there. With
well, asphalt. See, I don't think that's defined, correct, Ann?
How they do it?
Not defined.
So, I mean, as how we saw this a while ago, is we wish we could have gone back in the past and had a whole bunch of raised crosswalks all over Othello from a traffic safety standpoint. But as we're doing developments, was there an opportunity to fix that in a subdivision code? And you as a developer, I think, are gonna give us the best explanation of that.
If you raise it, it's a good thing. I'll say why. Because I have a couple of them in that first development and people park right on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
All the time, so they don't even use them as a crosswalk. So by raising them and maybe painting yellow, I don't know,
mm-hmm.
people will stay off of them. But that'll slow traffic down, for one, And then it's more obvious, it's a crosswalk position.
How about developer costs on at the startup? Do you think that's not an issue?
No, I mean, you could compact it to have just that little mound. I mean,
right.
We do ADAs. We're doing the church right now. We're doing an ADA to the sidewalk, and they formed it with dirt, right? And then they just lay, and then they'll finish it with asphalt, of course. But you can do the same thing with a crosswalk, you know, with asphalt. I mean, it'd be better. I mean, you can put the sidewalk in there and then do asphalt on either side. I mean, it'd be more visible. But cost-wise, it'd be a little bit more for concrete.
But probably worth it.
But worth it.
Yeah, probably concrete is more durable.
Right.
Well, you need 4.5, 5 inches, 6 inches.
So that's not too big of a request on a new subdivision.
No, I mean, we don't have any. The only crosswalks that we have are in the intersections. We don't have any in between. PV over here, the first one had some in between because the way it's designed. So that one there, like I said, you go through that. There's cars parked on both sides of the crosswalk.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Which
that would help with that.
It would help.
Okay.
That's hopeful.
Question. It's back a bit. Just curious. Let me know why the purpose of having a larger cul-de-sac for a longer street. What is the thought process behind that? If it's 150-foot street or less, it's 60-foot. I say crosswalk, cul-de-sac.
Fire code that if it's longer than a certain length, then the turnaround has to be longer. I don't know if the gets bigger. I don't know.
That's what didn't make sense to me. If you turn around 60 feet, why do you need 150 feet to turn around in a different cul-de-sac?
I would say that was an arc fire code.
Call. That's a fire code thing. Okay.
Yeah. Does that make any? No, it doesn't make any sense.
No, I have a tough time making sense.
It doesn't make any sense,
but it's the rule we got to follow.
But if the commission didn't decide that, then it doesn't.
Don't fight it. Yeah.
Okay, we're moving on to improvements.
Any other questions about standards? Of course, improvements was removed.
Mm-hmm. Robin did say it was okay to remove all of that, so.
Yeah. Okay. Waivers, definitions, and deferrals, I think that's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
Does anyone have any questions on that? We just talked a little bit about, is this where you're talking about that? This is not code enforced.
So yeah, this violation section, we'll just keep it, but it's not, we're not keeping it for Heather.
So this is gonna be a change area.
What's that?
We're gonna change this?
I don't think we're gonna change it, but we're gonna, we're not keeping it because Heather says to keep it. Heather doesn't use this chapter. We're just gonna keep it as a way for the city attorney. If somebody's out dividing land and not following the subdivision process, then we have something in our code. And actually, this is just copied out of state law where it talks about it being.
Is everyone comfortable with that?
Mm-hmm. Gross misdemeanor.
Comprehensive plan. I don't have any questions on that one either. Does anyone have any questions?
You could stop it continually, right? You could cease and desist if they're violating.
Yeah, I mean, they're not creating legal lots, so, yeah.
So you do have an order to do that.
Yeah.
Again, comprehensive plan, how subdivisions goes into that is defined in section 1648. That's gonna become, when is the new comprehensive plan?
So I'm meeting with the consultant tomorrow to like kick off and like figure out our schedule, but it's gonna be the next couple years.
So just to explain, this would, when the new comprehensive plan comes into place, this would fit in.
It's just saying that we adopt a comprehensive plan. That's all this is really saying. So it just kind of, let's just leave it there.
The next chapter has been moved into the latecomers agreement, so which is the next one. Mm-hmm. And all right, why we changed the language that we did in the latecomers agreement. How should we say that to city council?
The choice of the name, I mean, it's the same thing. It's just like a different name for the same thing. Mm-hmm. But the old chapter was very confusing.
It was.
And
good, because that's how it was to me. And yeah. This made a lot, even to me, made sense.
So the old one, I didn't even feel like that was salvageable. We just needed to like kind of start fresh. Uh-huh. So that's what was going on there. And then this new chapter was based on the city of Kent, which just recently redid this chapter. And so we know it's a nice, good, fresh one. The city attorney's office was familiar with that one, said it would be a good model. So we went with, you know, something that works.
It is very easy to read and follow, which I really like.
It was for me too, for a pretty complex circumstance.
Yeah, that old one, I read that one, I don't know how many times, and I mm-hmm. really, and even knowing how it should work, I struggled, so.
So Angel, this is where I'm sure you've dealt with this. I mean, the latecomers agreements and that. It made me crazy reading through that section. So we tried to fix that.
On the latecomers? I haven't really got that part, but as far as latecomers for the city, it's 10 years, isn't it? For latecomers? Or no, it's 10 years for a developer, but city's open.
No, everybody has to follow the same rules now, but
right?
One is 10 and one is 15 in streets and utilities, and I cannot ever remember which is which, because it's by the state law. Where is the...
Let's see.
Any other questions, comments on latecomers? I like the improvements on it. I could at least understand it. Mm-hmm. So that made it pretty good. Final thing we have is, of course, wireless telecommunications have been moved.
It's staying.
No changes, I'm
no
sorry.
No changes, but it's not a subdivision thing. I don't know why it's in this title, but it was like that when I got here.
Okay. So that takes care of our discussion and in preparation for city council. So I'm gonna go ahead. Is there any other questions, any other clarifications, any other things anybody needs? Okay, with that in mind, I'm gonna go ahead and open up the public testimony. Is there anyone who wants to speak in support of what's been presented on subdivision code? Seeing none, is there anyone neutral to this that would like to speak on the subdivision code? Not seeing anyone get up. So finally, is there anyone in opposition to the changes we've made in the subdivision code for this public hearing? Seeing none, I'm gonna close the public hearing at 6:52 for public testimony. We talked about a lot of stuff, just getting clarifications. My question to the council members, is there any additional information you all would like to have?
And as I mentioned, there are still some changes that need to be
made.
So yeah. I don't know if you feel comfortable, you know, sending it forward, knowing there's gonna be some minor changes, or if you want it to come back to you.
Since most of this is gonna be legal, I mean, it's not like we can tell them, no, break the law.
So we do have the public hearing scheduled for next week, which is really short turnaround time. And so we might want to continue that public hearing or reschedule the council hearing to give time to get it in better form.
Yeah. You can put it on the schedule, and then if we don't all agree, we'll just
continue. I think that's one of the reasons why I've been taking a little extra time with this one today, John, was to make sure we can answer some of those questions and some of those explanations that may come up, which I think are pretty legitimate, because yeah, I was wondering.
We don't need to rush it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We can take time and.
I mean, I think for the planning commission, we're comfortable. I shouldn't say that. We'll wait and see if everyone's comfortable with that happening. But I mean, pretty much we're talking about a few legal definitions that we don't have a lot of influence on.
The only reason I suggest it is that the best way to eliminate, you know, questions, I had a couple of questions tonight because I had the wrong document.
Right.
But if we can get the right document in front of the council, right now, if you made copies for all the council and this was mine, there's other copies out there that are wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So either address it in an email or create a new document and get rid of all the lineouts. Just put in the document what goes in the document.
Mm-hmm. I think that goes.
Yeah, the one I gave you was like the working draft, so that you can see the notes and everything. But what the council will get eventually is an ordinance in a better format.
That would hit off a lot of questions.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It is nice to see though how much we get rid of, which is nice.
Shorter, yeah, shorter.
We're doing our best.
Pages shorter. So I guess the question is, do you feel comfortable making your recommendation? And I think I'm not going to bring it to the council in a week because I think it's just going to take more time to get it ready to give them time to look at it. But it's a matter of, do you want it to come back to you to look at it one more time before you make your recommendation? Or are you comfortable recommending it knowing there's going to be a few little changes?
I personally feel that the changes are small enough that it doesn't need to come back to us. I think we've done a pretty good job with it.
And if something comes up that seems major, I will bring it back to you.
Okay.
Ruth, Maria?
Mm-hmm. I'm in agreement.
Daniela, I'll watch you unmute if you need to add something. Seeing no unmute.
I agree with everybody else.
There's Jose. Good. Thanks, Jose.
No problem.
I'm going to guess Daniela is probably good.
Probably.
She'll be sending you a text message.
She's not going to have the best of service. Yeah. She doesn't have the best of service.
I'm going. Sorry.
I'm so glad John's here.
Okay. So at this point, I'm going to outright close the public hearing at 6:56. Finally, do we have a motion for the subdivision code? Maria is going to make the motion to accept the subdivision code with slight legal edits.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Perfect. Okay. We move this on to city council. Thank you for the time spent on this. I think it'll help to have that information lined up that way to go out. Okay, M, we have a major plat layout for 8, and you have discussion points for us because we're gonna have a long street.
Yes.
A long dead end street, so potentially.
Get the map. It's in your packet, but pull it up on the screen. Actually, maybe it would be better to look at the.
We're just going to tell Angel he's got to remove a house. No. We're not going to, huh? No, we're not going to do that. That's a difficult situation. I was reading through this going, ugh.
Let me share this screen. So then it's this property that you can't see the apartments, but the apartments are over on the,
right,
west edge. And the rest of it, you know, what do you do with that? If you're not going to continue building the apartments, because you have, you know, just enough land to do a street with houses on either side,
mm-hmm,
like the design that he showed.
I think though, yeah, there you go.
So it would be longer than the 700 feet that the code allows and more than the 20 houses that the code allows. There is the cul-de-sac at the end for the turnaround, and the kind of the gray underneath it is, they just laid this over the apartment design. It would just be a regular cul-de-sac, but it would have access into the parking lot where they were proposing to do speed bumps to discourage through traffic. But it would provide an access point if needed. So if there was an emergency and you couldn't get out to the east, you could still get out to the west. They're showing this as a potential stub street, but it wouldn't go anywhere. There's no, you know, there's no connection. There's no street there. So that would be a
just an
connection
escape
for the, well, just for the future. It would have to be barricaded off. You wouldn't.
With potential that it would be in the future, though.
It would have potential for the future, but we don't know what the future, you know, what's going to happen with that property.
That butts right up against light industrial.
It's light industrial. It's owned by the city.
Yep. So, I mean, if you, depending on use, yeah. But it might never.
Yeah, I mean, it could be just storage, you know, just like warehouses, just like the back of the buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Question I have is, so if it sounds like it's not likely that there would be a street that would go back there unless that was somehow rezoned.
Yeah, that's a tough question to make
it
an
is a
answer
tough question
to.
You know, the city's still working on figuring out what should happen with all of that property.
So further down in the development, are there any other streets that are potentially going to access that?
I like your question, Rob. How about I answer? I'm gonna take a stab at answering that question because it's a great question. So we kept that light industrial, that area there, to have a space, a transition zone from heavy industry to residential. That was the concern, was invading that. So could there be a light industrial use that would utilize that street? Yes. Yes, there could be.
Well, I'm just looking at the rest of the planned development, or maybe some of that's already been built out. I don't drive down there very often, but there's no other place where it would access that.
Correct.
Yeah.
Area.
The rest of it's built and it's
unless something light industrial, something that qualified as light industrial came in there.
In the original plan, there was going to be apartments there, right?
Yes.
So, and maybe I'm getting ahead of our discussion. Hang on, I'm almost done, Jose. Why even have it then? If tonight we decide, yeah, those access points are good enough, why even have a street that just gets barricaded?
Mm-hmm. I mean, it does, you know, if there's a way out in the future, it does provide additional access, which is better for safety and circulation. I had suggested that they just leave that because those lots are 60 feet wide, and I suggested they just leave it as the last one they build on so that they can decide when, to leave it unbuilt or not.
It's actually
but
a really
then,
good
but
question.
Angel thought that then if he builds within 5 feet of the property line on either side and then a street goes in, that's not great for those houses that are now 5 feet off of a street. So.
So if you guys see over here at the PV, mm-hmm, so you go down Madera Street, there is an access that we left.
Right.
In the Walmart. We left that just in case that property ever gets developed. And which is good because now you have another means of getting out of there, you know, for development. But this one here,
You know, if we left it there, it helped me out for the future, and then I have all the right to fence that area where the apartment was and isolate that. Then there wouldn't be no more traffic going through there because I have two accesses already. So, and it's hard. There's 80 acres there, you don't know how that's going to happen.
So you like the idea of it because in the future it might give you the opportunity.
I don't like it because it's a less lot, but it makes sense to have it there because if that would have ever happened, I own the apartments, I'll fence it in, it'll be isolated. I'll have the, you know, and the sewer too. The sewer doesn't have to run through the apartments because we can run gravity east and then south and go down Cascade. So we don't have to run the sewer through apartments. You know, we can isolate that. But, I mean, it's always good to
So you're okay with that, Angel?
It makes sense because for me, you know, I'd rather have the apartments, the traffic, not go through there in the future. It helped me get this built. But I see that property, that light industrial, going faster. I mean, it's not, we don't have it on the surplus as of now.
Yeah.
But that property will go.
I agree.
How is that going to pan out, that street, you know, with everything there, it's 80 acres, I don't know.
Ideally, it'd be great to have a street that connected to that. I mean, that one around your, went by your, like you said, you were going to put a fence. If a light industrial use, and I mean, you can think of a whole bunch, you know, that's not a bad access point there, you know, that a street would come up and then hook to that. That would definitely, I can see how that would be beneficial for you. Wow. I did not see that before until you just pointed that out. That makes some sense. Okay.
Jose had a comment.
Yeah, I was just wondering if we will be able to use that back road for when they come and pick up trash, if we can leave that.
Like an alley?
Yeah, kind of like an alley out there in the gravel. If we're going to have it open in the back, I don't know how tight those roads are going to be and if they're going to be. But I'm just thinking snow removal. I'm thinking trash, things like that. I'm just thinking about those services, if that's going to affect anything.
If it's open, people are going to drive on it.
You can do that.
Yeah, if it's a like a gravel street, people are going to drive on it.
Yeah, that's what I was going to.
You know, there's a lot of things that could happen there.
You're right.
But if we had some kind of a ball field or something along 7.
That would be another.
That would be great for that.
Right.
It'd be great for that. You know, you could fix it to where you can have traffic go through there, go into there from Sand Hill into there.
It's just a great, I'm glad you're here tonight, Angel, because I really like Rob's question and how that would play out. I like your vision of I guess that would be my question. It gives you options, and I like that, even though it takes away a little bit of space, and you're okay with that. So, I mean, this kind of works pretty nicely. But the question that popped into my head was the type of traffic that could potentially come through your area was kind of the other issue. Like you said, a ball field being right there. And that's not putting too much on your development, is it, as far as the traffic goes?
The people going to the ball field are going to use 7.
Right.
Kind of come to the development. The people living in the development
section could use it.
Will use it.
Yeah.
And not all of the people that live close to 7th will jump on 7th and get into the ball field.
That's, yep.
So I have a question. Let's say it stays industrial and it gets developed that way. Does that stay a forever dead end? Or would it have to develop
something. Something's going to get.
I like where Rob said. I'd rather have another lot, you know. Okay. But it's not just about the lot. It's about future building, right? I mean,
it gives you more freedom to close that off.
Exactly. Isolate that area just for the apartments. You know, gives me that option down the road.
Right, but that dead end will. It, if it's going to connect to industrial, is it going
to
stay?
Talk to me after.
I don't like that.
I can't tell you.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You don't want that flow of traffic. Like, you don't want a permanent dead end.
It's not going to. It probably won't stay. It probably won't stay a dead end.
Why wouldn't you go straight up with the
letter? It'll be a dead end for now, but I don't think it stays a dead end.
Angel, feel free to tell me it's none of my business, but why did you decide to make this change?
I'm not into apartment business. I'm a builder, and I want to stay a builder. And, I mean, Othello's a little different. Othello's higher-end apartments. We're doing all right. We got, like, 10 in there. It's a little bit slow. But we work with the numbers, and we're going down. I'll give you the information. We're pretty firm on notepads and stuff like that. You want a higher-end development.
Right.
But we're giving into some things. We'll bring some people in, and we're getting them. You know, it usually takes a year to fill 48 apartments. So we're being patient with that, right? So I just don't think I want to. There was going to be 240 apartments or units. So I don't think we want to go there.
You didn't want to.
We're building.
Good question.
We do good building, and that's what we want to do.
Makes sense.
Need for the homes.
That is going to be a cul-de-sac that will replace some of the parking in this plan, right?
Yeah, well, you see that parking right there on the, if you see on the lower end of the apartment right there, that light square, that's my office. So right east of there, that empty spot right there. So this, yeah, that one right there, we'll have parking lot, more parking there for the development.
That was gonna be my question was, the parking spots you'll use up, are you still within those requirements?
Yeah.
But you.
Oh, yeah, I'm within the requirements without that.
Gotcha.
Perfect.
I'm going to create a parking right there, and on that other end, we're going to create a couple gazebos. And somewhere around there, we're going to, you know, have a fence for the dogs for doing anything.
So, emergency services weren't thrilled, but we're okay with this design.
Mm-hmm. And the fire chief liked it better with the access through the parking lot as an option rather than just being just a closed off cul-de-sac. He liked this
so
idea better.
What did the fire chief say about just access through the parking lot instead of a cul-de-sac? Is a cul-de-sac still needed?
So we need a cul-de-sac so that fire trucks can turn around, the garbage truck can turn around, the delivery trucks, so we're not forcing those things to go through the apartments.
Okay. Yep. Especially with that length.
Where will the access on that, Angel, be from the cul-de-sac into the parking lot? Will it just be that entire radius that meets the parking lot, or will there be an actual designated access to it?
It'll be designated access, but where in the roundabout exactly, I don't know. I think who's going to offset a little bit.
Obviously, it has to be between the parking spaces, so you only have maybe two options.
And they may reconfigure this parking area.
We're going to take some of that parking out. It's already there. We're going to tear it up. And once we create the cul-de-sac, and then we'll go and redo the parking spot.
Okay. That makes sense.
So the request is for a waiver. What are we looking at?
They're not formally requesting it yet.
But
I just wanted you to discuss it to see, is it worth him, you know, paying his engineer to lay this out and, you know, is this generally okay to come back and formally request that design? Because if you were going to say, you know, no way, no how, then he would need to come up with another plan. I don't know what that plan would be because we're kind of in a corner here.
Reading what I'm reading, you guys have dotted all the I's and crossed all the T's, and everyone's kind of in agreement with this. And
my feeling is, I mean, it's in the code of this is something that can be requested of the commission. Nobody's, from what I could read from what your packet saying, that this is a bad idea. Yeah, it's not ideal, but so I don't know. I don't have a problem with it.
It might become ideal. I mean, ideal-ish, depending on what happens to the north.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that can happen real quickly. Yeah, what's that, Bob?
I do have a question for Angel, I guess. But say we have that secondary access through that apartment complex for the fire trucks. Mm-hmm. I mean, that apartment complex gets sold. Is there anything that you can put that they have to keep that secondary access, or can they just block it off?
Well, we have the secondary access. If you go up on top,
yeah.
That is a secondary, because see, that department says right now does not have a secondary.
I think what Bob is saying is that the end of the cul-de-sac, what keeps that open if you were to sell the apartments?
Well, that would be an agreement.
So there'd have to be, yeah, it'd have to be something.
Agreement we've made.
It needs to be when you get the deferral.
Well, they're not getting
the deferral tonight.
No.
Okay, yeah.
Within the next year.
And I think what's going to have to happen is this whole thing is going to get replatted. So then your apartment lot is, because right now your apartment lot goes the whole distance of
right.
the whole thing.
Yeah.
So I think it's just going to be a replat, and one lot is going to be the apartments, and the rest is going to be those lots. So it's going to be a new plat. And so there'll be conditions and stuff.
That always stays open.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't care who owns it, but it still needs to stay open.
Yeah.
Good point.
Will there be any issues with the fire hydrants, the placements?
That'll get figured out.
Yeah.
Well, that's a good question, Bob, because that right there really kind of comes down on me, because if I want to put them, sell them, and they don't like that access, well, there's my, you know.
Well, that's why it needs to be in part of the flat. I mean, if they replat that, then it needs to be there until that one goes to the north, they can't take away that fire access to there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. We have for sure.
You're right. Yeah, that couldn't be done without the additional access.
You'd have to do that.
You
couldn't have that as
a good. Yeah.
I'm interested to see how you.
I just assumed that would be the case, that you couldn't do anything until you had. Yeah.
I'm interested to see how you'll design that.
Oh, I don't know. I mean, but
what was that, Rob?
I was just telling Angel, I'd be interested to see how you design that house on the end at the cul-de-sac. That'll be kind of a little different, I would suppose.
The one on the south side?
Yeah, or the north side, no.
That would be the south, the one on the bottom?
The north one where the cul-de-sac encroaches into that to make it not a rectangular lot.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll look great.
On this side.
Yeah, we got the plans, the modern plans right now that are only like 40 foot wide.
It's only 45. Don't fit there. We just set them back enough, they'll have less of a setback in the back. But
we changed that anyway, so you got room to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
There was just one that I just reviewed, the last one that I reviewed.
Interesting.
I told Joel he should move it up a little bit because the living space can be closer. It was a lot like that where it was angled, and the garage was on the far side. So the garage had to be 20 feet back, but the house itself only needed to be 10 feet back. Mm-hmm. So they were able to scoot it up a little bit and give the property owner 5 more feet in the backyard.
And that may change a little bit, because on the south side, the west lot, that one there, we might take that lot out and add to the first one where we're going on 11th and that corner 11th and Hood, because there's somebody that's wanting a house that's a little bigger. So if we work out the numbers, I'll redesign. I'm not going to redesign, I'll just take a lot out and give it to the property.
Okay. I feel like I understand where we're going with this.
You don't need any formal vote, just kind of, I mean, it doesn't sound like we got too much heartache over this one.
Yeah, it was just meant to be
sounds
informal.
Pretty straightforward.
Okay, so our last thing tonight is the homeless plan. I don't really need to go through it unless you want me to. But I wanted you to have that information to know this is going on. We can talk about it. If you have comments, we can just say you saw it and you're aware of it. Up to you.
Well, I think we should go through every slide.
Top of the seventh.
Kidding. I'm kidding. Nothing jumped out at me that I had any comments on. When I read through it. I mean, I read through everything and it was kind of pretty right on. I mean, it's like, okay, that's the plan.
Yeah.
Is there anything we should be making our radar go off? Anne's not gonna tell me.
I don't know. It's obviously.
Bob, is there anything that's gonna make my radar go off? Have you guys reviewed all this? Did you guys put this homeless plan together? Who put it together?
So it was Hope Source that we hired through a grant, and we had a task force involved myself, Jose, Angela from the Lighthouse, Adams County Health District has been invited but not been very involved.
So you're the planning. What's the county planning?
So Andy from the county.
Okay.
He's been there too. Ritzville Police Chief was involved a little bit. Ritzville Planning Director was involved a little bit. That's the usual attendance at the meetings. It's a pretty small group. Some at the churches once in a while.
So if we don't like it, we're going to have to flay Jose on the committee, is what you're telling me.
Is there a definition somewhere of affordable housing?
Of what?
Affordable housing. I mean, that term's used a lot in there. Is there a definition? Is there a dollar amount?
Oh, God.
Because some of it seems vague.
So generally, low income is less than 80% of the median income of the area, and moderate income is 80% to 115%. I guess the other definition is that affordable is no more than 30% of their income for housing and utilities, not including phone.
The only thing I see with affordable housing, Matt, when we went through the numbers for the apartments, we were actually, when we went through the state.
Right.
We're like, they're high.
Yeah.
They're high.
That's what we found with
and
that.
We went up a little bit from that because it's not affordable housing, it's, you know, the high end apartment, and then we were too high. But yeah, we came down, we're already with like affordable housing.
Yeah, so the Sand Hill apartments meet that target of the 80 to 115%. Under the
affordable housing is going to be different all over the state. Affordable housing here is obviously going to be different than other areas of the state.
Right, because it's based on
therein lies the problem
level of your community.
It would be nice, just from my perspective as someone who has rentals, where I fit in. Like for Adams County, what is affordable housing? And it's going to be different based on amount of occupants, I'm assuming.
Yes, yeah, it goes by number of rooms. I can share that table. I've got
that somewhere?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I'd like to see that.
Sweet. What a cool thing to be a part of, Ann.
What was what?
I would advise for people to.
I thought you made some smart ass comments.
No, I think it's really cool to be a part of that task force.
I would definitely advise for you guys to join and take part, because I think for me, it's mostly a entry level. Like, I mean, there's a lot of building that we have to do, and I think this is a great foundation, but there's still going to be a lot more to do with.
Yeah, one of the things that we realize that we need is like a resources. Like a sheet of what are the resources, and have everybody, you know, all the people that people are going to come into contact with, have them know, because, you know, they come into here and we might tell them something, but we don't maybe know. And then they go to Adams County and they've got different information. And it would just be better if we can be more consistent and have more information that's shared among the agencies. There's not been great coordination so far.
Yeah,
so that's something we're working on.
So
correct.
That makes sense.
I like that.
I guess my thing is that this is not the solution. This is more of the beginning stages of getting everybody to talk about it, getting everybody to give us their input, and then revisit it after the next 5 years to make those changes, right? So like, it's not like a one and done. It's we're gonna work with this, and then in 2030 we'll come back and revisit and take out and put in what is necessary and go from there. So
I imagine definitions become, it's really, you know, you when you say the word homeless, you put a picture in your head, but the reality is that picture is pretty complex. I mean, you know, you have a domestic situation, you can become homeless real quick in that circumstance. And that's maybe not the picture. that pops into your head, but when you start looking at what is applicable and consistent in Adams County, it's probably not what you thought.
Oh, yeah.
And having space available for all those circumstances is, so I'm glad, I mean, that's how, that's when I read through the slides, that's how I was looking at it, as there's a, it's a big net, mm-hmm. not this little tiny picture, which probably when you say the word, that's what pops in people's head when it's really this.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. I thought it did a good job of grabbing this a little bit. Any other comments on that? Mm-hmm. Okay, then I guess looks like we're pretty comfortable with that.
Yep, thank you.
And we already talked about comprehensive plan.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And nobody wanted to talk about...
Nope.
Don't have nothing to say.
All right. Any other questions, comments? If Alma gets elected, how long is she still on the planning commission? Till January, right? So you still might have a couple meetings.
The end of January.
Stop manifesting. Let's just let it happen.
I don't want her to sleep well tonight. So.
I don't.
It's February.
Any other questions, concerns? All right. Anybody want to make a motion to?
I make a motion to adjourn tonight's meeting at 7:25.
I'll second it.
Wow, that was quick. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Looks like we are adjourned at 7:25. I was waiting for Daniela to object.
She's got really bad service. She's been trying to text me things here and there. You're fine.
I'm not voting for you. I don't want you to.